Good morning, Trinity.
Good morning, Pastor.
Good to see you this morning.
Yes.
We're going to celebrate the best looking sunshine. And we're glad that you're here and that you're visiting with us. We welcome you. You're here by God's invitation as well. So it's no coincidence that you're here, but we're glad you are. And we'd also like to just say, for those of you who are not aware, there's a couple of cards. Please fill those out. We're going to be gathering those. There's a blue one and a yellow one. And you'll be gathering the first of those two cards right after the third lesson of the scriptures are read, the gospel lesson. And so if you could make sure to get that filled out, the ushers will pick it up. And then also make sure, if you're a guest as well, give a just if you're here, let us know and put your phone number down. But if you have a prayer request on the other card, please let us know that if we can follow up. Please provide your phone number if we can.
Please remain standing. We make our beginning this morning in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching Him in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is made in the name of the Lord. I said I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities with which I have ever offended you and justly deserve your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them and sincerely repent of them. And I pray you of your boundless mercy and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being. Upon this your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray together. Almighty and everlasting God, mercifully look upon your infirmities and stretch forth the land of your majesty to heal and defend us. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
You may be seated.
The Old Testament reading is the book from the book of Nehemiah, chapter 8. All the people gathered as one man into the square before the water gate, and they told Ezra, the scribe, to bring the book of the law of Moses that the Lord had commanded Israel. So Ezra the priest brought the law before the assembly, both men and women, and all who could understand what they heard, on the first day of the seventh month. And he read from it facing the square before the water gate from early morning until midday, in the presence of men and the women, and those who could understand. And the ears of all the people were attentive to the book of the law. And Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, and he was above all the people. And as he opened it, all the people stood. And Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and all the people answered, Amen, Amen, lifting up their hands. And they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. They read from the book from the law of God clearly, and they gave the sense so that the people understood the reading. And Nehemiah, who was the governor, and Ezra the priest and scribe, and the Levites who taught the people, said to all the people, This day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn or weep, for all the people wept as they heard the words of the law. Then he said to them, Go your way, eat the fat, and drink sweet wine, and send portions to anyone who has nothing ready. For this day is holy to the Lord, and do not be grieved, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. One second, the other reading.
The epistle is from the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 12. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so is it with Christ. For in one spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one spirit. For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot should say, Because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear should say, Because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would be the sense of hearing? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them, as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, not again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable, and those parts of the body that we think less honorable, we bestow the greatest honor. And our unpresentable parts are treated with greater modesty, which our more presentable parts do not require. But God has so composed the body, giving greater honor to the part that lacked it, that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. Now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, helping, administration, and various kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all possess gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But earnestly desire the higher gifts. This is the word of the Lord.
Gospel appointed for this day is written in the book of St. Luke, the 4th chapter. This will serve as the basis for today's sermon. Jesus came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as was his custom, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day. And he stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And he rolled up the scroll and gave it back to the attendant, and he sat down. And the eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fixed upon him. And he began to say to them, "Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." And all spoke well of him and marveled at the gracious words that were coming from his mouth. And they said, "Is not this Joseph's son?" And he said to them, "Doubtless you will quote to me this proverb, 'Physician, heal yourself.' What we have heard you did at Capernaum, do here in your hometown as well." And Jesus said, "Truly, I say to you, no prophet is acceptable in his own hometown. But in truth, I tell you, there were many widows in Israel in the days of Elijah, and when the heavens were shut up for 3 years and 6 months, and a great famine came over the land. And Elijah was sent to none of them, but only to Zarephath in the land of Sidon, to a woman who was a widow. And there were many lepers in Israel in that time of prophet Elisha, and none of them were cleansed, but only Naaman the Syrian." When they heard these things, and all in the synagogue were filled with wrath. And they rose up and drove him out of the town and brought him to the brow of the hill on which the town was built. so that they could throw him down over the cliff. But passing through their midst, he went away. This is the gospel of the Lord. You may be seated. Please join us in our baptismal hymn, I Am Jesus' Little Lamb. Well, it's good to see each and every one of you here this morning, and we have a baptism, I hear. Richard Wesley Schroeder. Is that correct?
Yes.
Good, good. Well, that is going to be a wonderful thing to do. Can you point me to Richard Wesley? Is that him? Okay. You think we should baptize him today? Okay, we're going to do that. Were you ever baptized? Well, I'm going to have you be my... Would you be my special helper? Would you be my helper? I think you would. Okay, we'll do that in a little bit here. These are very blessed things that are you're given as for you, Richard and Renee, to be able to receive the gift of God. And at even a young age, God intends for us to go and to baptize all people. And all people doesn't say about... if they have blonde hair or brown hair or curly hair, or they're bald. It doesn't say that they have to be a certain age or weight. It just says all people. And so we baptize here at Trinity, a custom that's been done in the early church down through the ages. And so we are going to bring into God's family, through His command, as Jesus said, go therefore and baptize all people, in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So Richard is being baptized today into the name of God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit here at Trinity. But it is not just a baptism for this church. We want you to know that. So this is welcoming him into God's family. And so I would ask you as sponsors and as parents, are you as parents and sponsors willing and gladly willing to bring him up into the teachings of the Christian faith? Are you willing and able to do so by praying for him daily, by also seeing that he reads the scriptures as he learns to read, that you'll bring him to also Sunday school and to church, and further bring him up in the fear and love of the Lord in the practices of the Christian faith? Because today God is giving him faith, but these seeds of faith can be watered and nurtured on a daily basis throughout his life. Do you willingly and gladly intend to do so? If say yes.
Yes.
Thank you. Today we're going to be baptizing him, as I said, in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And I would like to make the sign of the cross both upon his forehead and also upon his chest as a token and as a reminder to us that he is baptized into to the Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and that also the Christian faith in which we make confession today is the Apostles' Creed, and we're going to be doing so. And so at this point, I'd like to have you, if you recall that, and I'd like to have the congregation please join us. It's found in the back side of the cover of your hymnal. And I'd just like to have us together say this creed. This is the words that describe and bring to about, if you will, a summary of the Christian faith. And so this will be a summary of his faith that he'll be brought up into. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. This time I need my special helper. I'm sorry, Brenda, I don't mean you this time.
That's okay.
Not yet. Can I have you come up here? Can you pour that water in there for me? Whoa. Now, can you stick your finger in there? Well, come here for a second. Come here. Come here. Can you feel my hand? Can you feel my hand? I guess not. Can Mommy feel my hand?
Yes.
Does that feel like anything?
Just water.
Just water. But what we have today is just simple water, and thank you for helping. It's connected with the promise of God's word, and what God is going to do is he's planting seeds of faith. He is giving faith to your son, Richard, and he's going to be choosing him to be in his family. And so the Holy Spirit seals unto us this faith, and as a result, he is at work in and through this water with the promise of God's holy word. So Richard and Renee, as you see that, I want you to understand that's what God is doing on your behalf. This is a wonderful gift to give him at this stage in his life. Do you think I could borrow him for a minute?
Sure.
I'm going to have a granddaughter here, so I'm going to try this and see if this... Okay. Yeah. Somebody else got me. Can we get the hat down a little bit? Okay. Off is even. Okay. Oh, my. Yeah. Richard Wesley Schroeder, I baptize you in the name of God the Father, in the name of God the Son, in the name of God the Holy Spirit. You did so good, Richard Wesley. And now could we join together in the Lord's Prayer? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Lord Jesus, we ask that you would bless Richard Wesley Schroeder all the days of his life. Allow him to grow to be a man and to serve you in fullness and in make an impact in his family that teaches his children all things. And may he be a man of faith, may be a servant of servants, and may he be that impact that you would have him to be. For you have a plan and a purpose for him, your word tells us. In Jesus' name, amen. I'd like to introduce to you the newest member of the Trinity family, Richard Wesley Schroeder. You can clap. he's really sleeping very well. But the ushers won't let you sleep that well. You'll take it. Okay. Yeah.
Another part here. I'm going to let Pastor skip it this time. There's a baptismal candle to light every year on the anniversary of baptism. Remember the baptism here in Whitman. It's in the Christ candle. So this is the box you can store it in. A good thing, don't hold it too close to him now. And a little gift from Trinity. And I believe this is information Pastor said you all would request it.
Thank you.
A lot for you to hold since you're going to hold the water.
We thank you very much.
Thank you.
God's blessings. Thank you. And I have this for you. Richard, I'll give you that. During this time, the prayer cards will be picked up, and we make our beginning for our worship in our sermon message this morning. And congratulations, guys. It's really special. And now he's going to wake up and get fed. How good is this? Is that Uber? Church meals in a bottle, huh? Meals on wheels, too. So we're glad that each of you are here this day. Today it's kind of fitting we have a baptism, and here Jesus is somebody who is in this season we celebrate his manifestation called Epiphany, meaning the making known or the revelation of the Messiah, who he was and what he would do. The wedding at Cana, we certainly heard about that last week. Where Jesus turned water into wine, and the disciples believed in him. This week we have seen in the scripture reading that Jesus reads the scriptures, and it is the Isaiah prophecy in Isaiah 61 that predicts and promotes Jesus as being the one who's anointed, chosen, and has come in the Spirit of the Lord. Next week, as Jesus is Lord of the Sabbath, and the following week Jesus calls his team. He puts together the disciples, and they begin a public ministry that's launched. And the final week of Epiphany, the manifestation or making known of the Christ, Jesus takes Peter, James, and John to the top of the Mount of Transfiguration, and they hear the voice from the cloud that you remember, "Behold, this is my Son, my beloved Son. Listen to him." Now today, this is the first time that we would really see that Jesus is teaching publicly. And he did it, and he does it in the town of Nazareth. And that's the city where, you remember, the angel Gabriel came to Mary and announced to her that she would be the mother of the Lord. Nazareth is also the city where Joseph, Jesus' supposed father, had established a carpentry shop. And Mary and Joseph and Jesus had a home in Nazareth. The people of the synagogue, we find, knew this family because they called Jesus the son of the carpenter, questioning all the authority that he read scriptures with and the miracles that he was able to do. As I read through this text, it doesn't mean that we should ever overlook something that happened here. Jesus, who was to fulfill the law of God perfectly in our place, right up front, we need to realize that Jesus didn't skip out on going to church. He remembered the Sabbath day and he kept it holy. In fact, that was his custom according to this scriptures. No, he also took part in the service. He stood up and he read the scriptures with power and authority. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to proclaim the good news to the poor," as part of what he read. Jesus tells us that God's Spirit was upon him. He was the anointed, appointed, and chosen one, like Elisha in the Old Testament and Elijah, who had a special ministry in the Old Testament and worked many a miracle. Jesus' work and ministry certainly would be done in the power and authority of the Lord. Elijah and Elisha were but mere types of Jesus, the one who was come in the Spirit of the Lord and had been sent to proclaim release to the captives. The only portion, the thing that we need to understand, I should say, they had only a portion of the Spirit of God. Jesus came in the full, undiluted, concentrated Spirit of the Lord. Jesus identified himself as the one Isaiah had written about some 900 years earlier. The news of Jesus' miracles in Capernaum, the authority from which he read scriptures and spoke of and identifying himself as being the one who was sent to prophesy and to predict and to be able to proclaim this wondrous good news, was all spoken of him. He was the one that was identified. And his miracles then further backed up and heightened Christ's credibility that he was the Christ, the Messiah. Here in Nazareth, we see Jesus is introduced to the world as a sent Savior. This was his epiphany. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, Jesus read, to proclaim the good news to the poor, liberty to the captives and sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to proclaim this year of favor in the Lord. Jesus, the carpenter's son, he was the Son of God to bring the good news, and he was to bring it to the poor. It's here where I will pause. For we must also see humanity's greatest need is to really be released from the grip of sin and Satan. There is no one poorer than he who has no forgiveness or relief from the wrath of Almighty God. Jesus had come to proclaim the good news to you and to me, to the poor, those of us who are spiritually unable to strip away our sins that have stained our souls. And to set at liberty and freedom, that's what Jesus had come for. To set us at liberty, those who had been held captive were now able to walk with God, no longer being slaves to sin. You know, you and I really do understand, don't we? What it's like to be held captive to some pet sin that lurks in the background of our life. To understand how it demands its own way, how it drives us to do things that we don't want to do, things that we know we shouldn't do, but we end up somehow doing them. In the book of Romans, Paul calls it, it's no longer me sinning, but rather sin that lives within me. Thanks be to God for the victory that Jesus gives us to drive out those demons that drive and demand in our lives. Demons such as that of alcohol abuse, drug abuse, sexual addictions, overeating, lying, gossiping, and the list goes on and on. Yes, you and I can thank Jesus for setting us free, giving us freedom and liberty to live and for Jesus and to serve him, no longer being slaves to sin, but free. The time of year of the Lord's Jubilee year was celebrated every 50 years. It was a time when all debts were forgiven, including loans and mortgages. Can you imagine being forgiven of what your house note was? Or your car note? How about all the medical bills that you've incurred simply for those life-saving measures that you're so thankful for, but to receive a note that said, it's been paid, paid in full. Can you imagine how you would feel today if you were to be told all your debts were forgiven today? How would you feel? There was a man who was lowered down through a roof in front of Jesus. You remember the story. He was paralyzed. He was unable to walk or help himself or get up. His friends had lowered him, hoping that Jesus would have mercy on him and would heal him and allow him to walk again. That was his greatest needs, or so they thought. But where does Jesus start? What does Jesus say to this man first? who's being lowered down through the roof, and now is just before Jesus. We read in that gospel that Jesus started with this simple sentence. He says, "Your sins are forgiven." That's where Jesus started. That was the man's greatest need. My friends, Jesus says to you and to me, your sins are forgiven. From this pulpit and from this gospel place, your sins have been forgiven, and you have heard that from each and every pastor who has ever stood in this place. In the name of Jesus, your sins are forgiven. Over the past 100 years, thousands of sermons, gathered congregation of Trinity's heard that countless times. We just baptized Richard. Your sins are forgiven, Richard. You were born in sin, but your sins are forgiven. And so are your mommies and your daddies, your sponsors, your grandparents. Your sins are forgiven. As you come forward to receive the Lord's body and blood in simple form of bread and wine, what is it that we take and eat? Jesus says, take and eat for the forgiveness of your sins. Your sins are forgiven. Dave Ramsey, the popular financial radio talk show host, says, live like no one else now so that you can then live like no one else. Many people call into his radio program to tell him how they followed his process and how they've now paid off all their debts. And they call in to give their debt-free scream, to tell their story of what it's like to live life with having no debts except to live now a life of generosity. Friends, today as we worship, let us sing to those and like those who have called into that program, and call out to the throne of Christ and allow us to be able to be heard from here to heaven as we sing and praise to God that we're debt free. Our sins have been forgiven completely, entirely. We're debt free. Let us live like no one else now, wanting to serve our Savior and live a life of love and compassion, understanding that our Savior was sent and has been sent not only to say this message, but He's now sent to give us this message. We shout it out, we sing about it, we live it out, that we're debt-free in Christ. Our sins have been paid for. St. Augustine writes, he who rests in the Lord is he who finds rest and peace for his soul. You know, you and I can become sick from any old garden variety of diseases. But the good news of Jesus is that sin is incurable. There's only one cure for it, and that is Christ Jesus. You and I are born with this sin, this sickness that leads to eternal death. But in Christ, we have been released from it. The good news is that you and I have been released. And we have, instead of eternal death, eternal life. We can have also the ability to see. Our sight, our spiritual sight, has been renewed and restored. And we now see. The good news is that our Savior, Jesus, has paid the price that we were penniless and powerless to provide payment for. Yes, we are but beggars of God's grace, standing at the table of grace, asking for God's mercy. You and I need to understand the year of the Lord's favor, that the price for our sins has been paid. It's been paid in full by the blood of Jesus. God paid for what we could not. God took the certificates of sin that were being held against you and me, and He nailed them to the cross of Jesus. And there upon Calvary's cross, when the blood of Christ was shed and spilt, it was then shared as the payment for sins for the world, given to all who would believe. You, do you believe in that message that Jesus Christ paid the price for your sins? Because if you do, you are debt free. Your sins have been paid for. Our text shares, sadly, the the crowds didn't receive this as all good news because they were upset with Jesus because he had shared, just like Elijah and Elisha, that they had ministered to the Gentiles, people who were beyond God's grace and mercy, or so they thought. Jesus here was telling the crowds that his ministry of God's grace was also for all the world, including the Gentiles, just as it was in Elisha's day and Elijah. The people, you remember, were so upset that in the synagogue that they drove Jesus to the cliff. They wanted to force him over the cliff and cause him to die. People today still get upset when God's grace is extended to some who the crowd feels as though they're undeserving or unworthy. We can name a few notorious folks such as Adolf Hitler or Ted Bundy and the like. And somehow we believe that they have gone just way too far. They're beyond God's reach, you know, beyond the boundaries of God's grace and forgiveness. My friends, you and I are spiritually blind, save me for Christ. We are but beggars before the table of God's grace. None, no, not even one of us, myself included, are worthy to receive all that Christ gives. And as it says in the Apostles' Creed that Tim and I will be sharing with our confirmands, in the Apostles' Creed first article, it speaks of the Heavenly Father. Luther writes, "All this he freely and willingly gives us, purely out of his fatherly divine goodness, without any worthiness or merit in me." You see, it's a gift. He's giving us that which we don't deserve, but which he wants to give. And you know, as I look at my life and I see how I measure up, and as I look at all the things of the world and the horrendous and notorious, I see that none of us measure up to God's holiness. I see that no one could be forgiven unless I look at what Jesus did. And when I see Jesus, the Son of God, the one who died to pay for the sins of all, who died upon a cross, and the great worth and value of the Son of God's life instead for mine and for yours, I cannot come to any other verdict other than in God's court, I'm forgiven. I'm debt free. Our sins have been paid in full. And Paul says in the book of 2 Corinthians, "I tell you, now is the time of God's favor, and now is the day of your salvation." In the name of Jesus Christ, may all who hear believe in Jesus' name. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in the true faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. Lord and Savior Jesus, we indeed do give you thanks for making yourself known and manifesting yourself to us. Thank you for coming to proclaim to us that you have been sent, that you've been appointed and chosen, and for speaking to us in your Spirit, the Spirit of the Lord, and the power and conviction to convey unto us that we have been forgiven, that we are debt-free spiritually, that our sins have been removed from us, the wrongs have been nailed to the cross as certificates of sin. They've been cast into the depths of the sea. For this and all other things that you do, we give you thanks. We thank you for the gift of baptism this day for Richard Wesley Schroeder, and we ask that your blessings will be upon all of us as we recall our baptisms. O Lord and Savior, may we also be thankful this day for our government that is reopened and for the answers to prayer around that issue. Bless us in the days that are ahead as we hammer out other things that are left remaining to decide. Grant peace and humility. Guide and direct the thoughts and words of our president, senators, and legislators. Be with them and bless them. Lord, in your mercy, bless and be with our church and all of its members, its teachers and principal, our pastoral team, and may you bless each of us as we live out and serve out our calling in your stead. Lord, in your mercy. And now, O Lord, hear the prayers that have been requested this day.
Lord, the congregation lifts up the following prayers to you. Pray for protection during an unexpected medical procedure for our sister Lisa. Prayers for the well-being of Emily. Prayers for Tracy Bengraff, I hope I'm saying this correctly, on continued strength and healing as she recovers from surgery. Pray for the families and the first responders, as well as those affected by the events in Sebring and Highlands County this past week and the shooting there at the bank. Pray for the Duke Hogan family. Multiple members have multiple needs. Pray for the lost uncle and brother, David, who suffered a stroke. We also pray for wife and mother, Sally, in declining health. We ask for prayers and courage to support the family. Pray for Connie and Tyler, say that right eventually, to end the housing struggles they're dealing with. We also pray for Hunter Schaller, a 17-year-old who suffered traumatic brain injury, that he's healed. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayers. And now, O Lord, hear the many prayers that are still spoken and unspoken. And we ask, O Lord, that you would be with those who are sick and or suffering. We thank you for the recovery of Chanda, our assistant and communications team member. We thank you for my father-in-law, who is also recovering from a fall, and the healing that has been provided. Lord, in your mercy. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God. It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks unto you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who out of love for his fallen creation humbled himself by taking on the form of a servant, becoming obedient unto death, even death upon a cross. Risen from the dead, he has now freed us from eternal death and given us life everlasting. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and singing.
Thank you.
Savior Jesus Christ, in the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had broken it and gave thanks, he gave it unto his disciples, and he said, Take and eat. This is my body, which is given unto death for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Likewise, in the same manner, he took the cup, and when he had supped, he gave thanks, and he gave it unto them, saying, Take and drink ye all of it, for this cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is given and is shed for you for the remission of all your sins. Do this in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you. This cup which we bless, is it not a participation in the blood of Christ? This bread which we break, is it not a participation in the body of Christ? O taste and see that the Lord is good. Come, for all is now ready. Peace. Your sins have been forgiven. Go now and serve him gladly. Amen.
Amen.
He's not. Richard, given unto death for you. The blood of Christ, given unto death for you.
Take and eat the true body of Christ, given unto death for you. The Lord Jesus bless you. Take and eat the true body of Christ, given unto death. Take and drink the true blood of Christ, poured out for you in the remission of all your sins. Now may this true body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus strengthen and preserve in you, Greg, the true faith and the life everlasting. Amen.
Thank you.
give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. O God, the Father and fountain and source of all goodness, who in loving kindness sent your only begotten Son into the flesh, we thank you that for your sake, his sake, you have been given to us pardon and peace in this sacrament. And we ask you not to forsake your children, but always to rule in our hearts and minds by your Holy Spirit, that we may be enabled constantly to serve you through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Lord be with you. Bless we the Lord. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and bring you his peace. And God's people said, amen and amen. You may be seated.
I guess I'll have to do the announcements a cappella, too.
I'll help you.
I don't have anything written down in the book, and I don't have slides, so I'm at a bit of a loss here.
I remember
that we have a new foundations class for adults on Wednesday evenings that are meeting now over in the fellowship hall. You have some written down. Oh, right, I didn't bring the triune here. Okay.
Not all of them.
Oh, so I guess we have the LWML quilts. The quilters will be delivering 60-plus quilts to a local church on Thursday, February 7th. Thank you to those who helped for the donated material, but we still need a couple of strong men, or women, I suppose, on Monday, February 4th to help move 20 boxes to be taken on and off the scales for accurate weighing. Gosh, I hope they don't put me on there. And LWML has counted the individual boxed bath soaps and things that donated during December, 210 bars of soap. I guess these are going to the Panhandle, do you know, Pastor?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. Tuesday evening, they have Women's Bible Study, meets at 6:30, and has begun a study on the book of Isaiah. Contact Julie Lassiter for more information.
I can take some here, too.
You want to?
Yeah.
Still any thunder.
Thanks. Oh, okay, you're going to leave. That's fine.
It's fine.
Be that way. We have a free concert at Prince of Peace, to make sure you're aware of that. It's next Saturday at 7 p.m. And also then I'd like to let you know of a Cross and Comfort, Cross and Crescent seminar. When I was in the district office, there was a team that I had, a task force that we'd established to discover and to talk about the Islamic faith in comparison to Christianity, and some of the tenets of the Islam will be discussed at this seminar, and how it relates to us as Christians, and how we might even reach out to the Islam into the Muslim population. As we start to look at this is a kind of basic conversational understanding that will be revealed from people that were born and raised in the Middle East, whose family converted from Islam to Christianity. And Jay and Julie Doss are two personal friends. Jay is now in the SMP program to become a Lutheran pastor. And Julie has spoken through Pablo and other such ministries. And she and Jay are here in Hope Lutheran Church next Saturday, February 2nd. And if you would like to go, the time is from 10 until 3. I hope you'll be there. There is a $10 suggested lunch expense that will be defrayed. If you can make a contribution, that'd be wonderful. If you're interested in going, please let me know. The final announcement that I have is from Veterans of the Cross. This is for ordained, commissioned, and lay workers annual retreat, March 4 to 6. One of our own will receive a very distinguished honor, and she has been chosen to receive the Lloyd Benkin Award. It's one that's given only through our Florida Georgia district, but for workers that are being recognized. that have served their Lord and Savior above the call of duty. Our own Maggie Bowles was chosen to receive this award this year. If you see Maggie in the days ahead, please congratulate her. And we... And what's that?
And beating your son at Risk.
Yes, she beat my son at a game of Risk. She and Brennan. Also, I would like to say that as we start to look at this time, it's something that Maggie has served our congregation, but also in the Florida-Georgia District, Lutheran Services of Florida, and down in a church that I was very aware of as a new mission start at Peace in south of the Naples area. So thank you. And God's blessings. Please join us in our final hymn. And God's blessings to you throughout this week. Thanks, Brennan.